One morning at sunrise, when they had already been travelling for many hours, Santan stopped on the top of a low rise and looked around her, slowly. The air was still cool from the night and so clear that she could see to the horizon. Later, with the heat, it would thicken to an opaline translucence, and the sun would drain all colour from the landscape. The heat mirage would close in around her, and shapes would be weirdly deformed, the most mundane group of rocks or clump of vegetation transformed into quivering monsters. Now they were sharp-edged and rich with their true colours. The undulating plains were hazed with pale silver grasses. And there were trees, real living trees, not those heat-struck ancient mummies that had stood upon the plains below the dunes. These stately camel-thorn acacias grew well separated. Their massive trunks, clad in rough crocodile-skin bark, were at odds with the wide umbrella-shaped crown of airy and delicate silvery-green foliage. In the nearest of them, a colony of sociable weavers had built a communal nest the size of a haystack. Each generation of these insignificant, dun-coloured little birds adding to it, until one day the weight would be too much and would split the great tree. Santan had seen others lying on the earth beneath the shattered acacia, still attached to the supporting branch and stinking with the carcasses of hundreds of fledglings and broken eggs. Beyond this open forest there were steep hills rising abruptly out of the plain, the Copius of Africa, riven by wind and split by the sun's heat into geometrical shapes as hard-edged as dragon's teeth. The soft light of the early sun struck hues of sepia and red and bronze from their rocky walls, and the antediluvian kookerboom trees, with their fleshy trunks and palm-like heads, crowned their summits. Santan paused and leaned on her digging stick, awed by the harsh grandeur of the scene. Upon the dust-coloured plains grazed herds of dainty antelope. They were pale as smoke and as insubstantial, graceful little animals, with lyre-shaped horns, the lovely bright cinnamon-brown of their backs divided from their snowy white lower parts by a lateral band of chocolate red. As Santan watched, the nearest antelopes took fright at the human presence and began snorting, the characteristic alarm behaviour that gave them the name of springbok. They lowered their heads until their muzzles almost touched their four bunched hooves and shot stiff-legged straight into the air, at the same time opening the long folded pouch of skin that ran down their back and flashing the feathery mane of white hair that it concealed. "Oh, look at them, Annie!" Santan cried. "They are so beautiful!" The alarm snorting was wildly infectious, and across the plain hundreds of springbok bounced on high with white manes flashing. Owar dropped his burden, lowered his head, and imitated them perfectly, prancing stiff-legged, flicking his fingers over his back so that he seemed transformed into one of the fleet little antelope, and the two women were so overcome with laughter that they had to sit down and hug each other. The joy of it lasted long after the mountains had receded into the heat mists, and it alleviated the crushing misery of the noonday sun.